Please turn again to Ephesians chapter 6. My text for today can be found in verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. We pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we're so conscious that we need the power of God. We pray this day, oh God, that you would anoint us with thy power and help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank thee that we have the Bible before us. And, O God, we pray as we would consider thy word this day, that you would speak to all of our hearts. We thank thee for every family and our congregation. And, O God, we pray that you would unite our families in Christ. That would be our earnest prayer and desire. O God, that each member of the family might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save the husbands in our congregation. Save the wives in our congregation. Save the children in our congregation. O God, come, we pray thee, and save parents in our congregation. Come, Lord, we ask of thee, and help us, Lord, day by day, to seek to live according to thy precious word. So undertake for us now. Bless us, we pray thee. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. So far in these chapters, we have considered the husband's duty towards his wife, the wife's duty towards her husband, and the children's duty towards their parents. Today, as we take up our studies again on Bible truth for the family in this 21st century, I want to draw your attention to the parents' duty towards their children. In Ephesians 6 verse 4, we read these words. Look at them again. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This text of scripture, of course, is drawing our attention to parental duty. And although it is speaking directly to the fathers in the home, I believe we can apply the text to both parents. I believe that we could read the verse like this: "And ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath." You see, not only is it the father's responsibility to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but it is also the mother's responsibility. Now, having said that, the father, as the head of the home, has the responsibility of making sure that all that is exhorted in this text is carried out. Therefore, the onus is firmly placed upon the father of the home. And I believe that the word of God clearly teaches that the father, as the head of the home, has the responsibility in the home to make sure that his children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As we come to consider this subject today, there are three words that I want to emphasize to you. Three words which I believe sum up and show clearly the parents' duty towards their children. And I pray that God will take his word and apply it to our hearts, especially those of us today who have children and who are seeking to bring them up in the things of God. The first word is the word instruction. The duty of Christian parents is to instruct their children in the things of God. In other words, to teach their children the word of God. The word nurture in Ephesians 6 verse 4 means instruction. The word admonition in Ephesians 6 verse 4 means putting into the mind. Therefore, the text is teaching that Christian parents are to instruct their children in the Word of God. They are to put into the mind of their children God's truth. That's what the text, I believe, is teaching. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts today, and especially those of us who have children. It is our responsibility, our duty, to teach, to instruct our children, to put into the mind of our children what God declares in His precious, precious Word, with the sole aim and purpose of pointing our children to Christ. Now that's very important. Why do we teach our children the Word of God? Why do we instruct our children in the things of God? Why do we seek to put into the mind of our children God's truth? Well, the sole aim and purpose is so that our children will come to a knowledge of sins forgiven, so that our children will be saved by the grace of God. Now, this can clearly be seen in the life of young Timothy. Keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 6 and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure that you're familiar with Timothy's testimony and how he was saved. He was saved, of course, through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Paul had the privilege of pointing Timothy to Christ. But before Timothy was saved, he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who taught him, instructed him in the things of God. Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois had taught Timothy and instructed him from his earliest childhood days the Word of God. Look what it says there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And that from a child, here's Paul speaking to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now how did he know the Holy Scriptures? Well, he was taught the Holy Scriptures. He was instructed in the Holy Scriptures by his mother and his grandmother. Timothy was born into the home. As he grew up as a young child, his mother and grandmother taught him the Word of God. And then, eventually, Timothy got saved. You see, the purpose, the goal, if you like, in instructing our children is that they come to a knowledge of sins forgiven. Look at verse 15 again of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, listen to it, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There we have the purpose of instructing our children. Can you see the importance of reading and teaching the Word of God to your children, especially when they are young? And that's why it is so important to get the Word of God into the minds of our children when they are young, so that when they come to know the difference between right and wrong, then they will realize that they're sinners, they will recognize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that they will call upon Him for redemption and for salvation. Now turn over to another portion of Scripture, the Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me just show you from the Old Testament God's instruction to the parents as far as enlightening their children's minds to the truth of the gospel. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 to 7 we read these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, the word of the God. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them, underline that, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In Deuteronomy here, the Lord is instructing the children of Israel to love Him with all their heart, soul, and mind. But He also instructs them that they are to teach their children the word of the Lord. Just turn over a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Look at verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words, the word of God, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's in the context of the home. And you can see there the responsibility of God's people, the parents who have children. They must instruct their children, teach their children the word of God. Let me emphasize here the importance of the family altar. It is important that God's word is read regularly in the Christian home, and that parents pray for and with their children. Another text of scripture that emphasizes this, of course, is Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. And it's a familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us. But we read in that text these words: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word train there in the verse, it means literally to give instruction. To give instruction. It is important that we educate our children in the things of God. Parents have that responsibility. The education of children in the gospel and in the word of God is the duty of the parents. And here we have in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 that truth emphasized to us in this word nurture and in this word admonition. You know, it's good to send our children to the children's meetings and to the Sunday school and to the youth fellowship and even to a Christian school. But the truth is that parents have the duty to teach their children. And we must never neglect teaching our children the things of God. We must never just, as it were, throw them off to someone else and say, well, they're teaching them the word of God. No, we have the responsibility. And that's what this text of scripture is emphasizing to us. So instruction. That's a word I want you to get in your mind and your heart. Instruction. But then take a look at the text again in Ephesians chapter 6. Because there's another word that I want to emphasize to you. Secondly, I want to draw your attention to the word correction. Correction. It is the duty of Christian parents to correct their children when they're wrong. I want you again to look at the word nurture there in Ephesians 6 verse 4. This word not only means instruction, but it also means chastening. The word chasten means to correct. In fact, it means to correct by suffering, or to correct by discipline, or to restrain. The word chastise means to punish. Therefore, what Ephesians 6 verse 4 is teaching is that Christian parents are to chastise their children when they are wrong. Now, there are many different ways that you can discipline your child when your child is wrong. And I'm not going to tell you what method to use in order for you to punish your child when it does wrong. Different children will respond positively to different punishments. But what I want every Christian parent to see today from God's Word is this. As far as God is concerned, it is our duty to discipline our children when they do wrong. God's Word demands it. God's Word clearly teaches it. Now again, I want you to keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 19. Now, there are many references to disciplining children in the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to read three references at this point. But look with me at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spur for his crying. That verse is simply teaching the necessity of correcting children when they are wrong, when they step out of line, when they disobey you. Proverbs 22, turn over to that chapter. Look with me there at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Again, the text of Scripture is emphasizing correction. When a child steps out of line, look at chapter 23 and verse 13. We read these words, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You see, the Bible teaches simply and clearly that there must be discipline in the home as far as the children are concerned. Discipline, whatever way it is enforced, is to teach the child that it has done wrong. If we neglect to point out sin to our children, we have failed them. Our children must know the difference between right and wrong. That is Bible. Right and wrong. The world's definition of what is right and wrong is completely different from what the Bible teaches that is right and wrong. Even the government's definition of what is right and wrong is corrupt when you consider what they classify to be right and wrong. No, the Bible, as we're going to find out tonight, is our only rule of faith and practice. Therefore, when the child does wrong, correct it, chastise it, discipline it. That is the duty of every parent. And that's what the Word of God here is teaching us, not only in the book of Proverbs, but in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. We are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That not only means instruction, not only does it mean teaching them what the Bible declares in order to lead them to Christ, but it also means correcting them. I'm sure that we're all familiar with the story of Eli in the Bible. Eli failed to discipline his children. And God judged both him and his children. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here we have the Lord. And of course he's speaking to young Samuel. Samuel of course worked in the temple with Eli. And consider what the Lord said to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, his family. When I begin, I will also make an end. Now, underline verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. because his sons made themselves vile. Now, Eli couldn't stop his sons making themselves vile. I can't save my child. I can't make my child, when he grows up, walk in a straight path before the Lord. I can't make my child a godly young man or a godly young woman. I don't know what way my children will turn out at the end of the day. But at the very least, I can rebuke them when they step out of line and when they do something contrary to the Word of God. Even when they're older and have left home, I can still rebuke them for their sin. Eli failed to do that. Look what it says. Because his sons made themselves vile. Now here's the part of the text I want you to underline. And he restrained them not. He rebuked them not. With the result that God judged Eli and his children. There's a text of scripture. Let me just read it to you. You needn't turn to it. It's in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, sometimes it's hard to correct a child. Sometimes it's hard to discipline them. And many parents today think that they're doing the child a favor by not correcting them, not disciplining them, but they're not. Indeed, the opposite is the case. We have another example of this in the life of King David. Turn over just for a moment to 1 Kings chapter 1 for a moment. And look with me at verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 6, we read these words. It says, and his father had not displeased him at any time. Now, the background to this text is that Adonijah, David's son, was rebelling. And he was observing his father's authority. And he was seeking to be king when it wasn't his place to be king. He was rebelling. The word displeased here means to grieve. And what the text, I believe, is teaching is this. David was not grieved with his son when he did wrong. He did not chastise him or point out to him where he was wrong. With the result that Adonijah, David's son, rebelled and ended up being executed. Now we haven't the time to go into all the details here, but you study it out for yourself. David failed to rebuke and chastise his son. You see, the reason why parents are to correct and discipline their children is not only to teach them the difference between right and wrong, but also, hopefully, to save them from further disaster in later life. That's why we correct our children. That's why we point out to them where they have made the mistake, so that they will not make the mistake in later life. So that they will learn what they have done is wrong, and hopefully they will not do that wrong again. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 is not only exhorting the parent to instruct the child with the purpose of leading the child to Christ, but it is also exhorting the parent to correct the child when the child steps out of line. Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 again, because there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to consider this third word. The third word that I want to draw parents' attention to in regard to their duty towards their children is the word administration. In other words, how are Christian parents to administer instruction and correction to their children? There are many things that we could say under this point, and they're all relevant. First of all, parents are to administer instruction and correction to their children diligently. Secondly, parents are to administer instruction and correction to their children conscientiously. Thirdly, parents are to administer instruction and correction to their children daily. Fourthly, parents are to administer instruction and correction to their children prayerfully and scripturally. And all these points are good and needful. And of course, we could take the time to emphasize each and every one of them. And it certainly would be a profitable time to do that. But the point that I want to make here in the context of our text is this. Christian parents are to administer instruction and correction to their children lovingly and tenderly. Look at our text, Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers or parents, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, underline that part of the text. The parent, father, the mother, they are not to provoke their children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the word of the Lord. The word provoke here means to irritate beyond measure. That's what that word literally means. In other words, although God has given you, parent, power over your children to instruct and correct them, you as a parent must not abuse that power. Remembering that your children are in a particular manner pieces of yourself and therefore ought to be governed, whether by instruction or correction, with great tenderness and love and care. That's what I believe the whole thrust of this text here is teaching us. We are not to be impatient with our children. We are never to abuse our children. When you caution them, when you counsel them, when you reprove them, when you correct them, do it in such a manner as not to provoke them to wrath. Always showing them that you love them with all your heart. Again, and I must turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24, we have a wonderful verse. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, the opposite nearly is the case today. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Today, the opposite is the case, isn't it? If we spare the rod, then we love our son. If we don't correct them, we love them. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you really love your son, you really love your daughter, then you will correct them. You will chastise them. But look at the end of the verse 24 of Proverbs 13. But he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes. Underline that little phrase. But he that loveth him. He that loveth him. O child of God, Christian parent, father, mother. It's so important to teach our children the things of God, to bring them up in the Word of God so that we might point them and lead them to Christ. It's so important that we correct them when they are wrong, that we discipline them when they are wrong. But Let us always do it in love. That's, I believe, what the text here is emphasizing in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ye fathers, ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I wonder, as we're gathered here this afternoon, can I ask a question? It's a very simple question, but it's a very challenging question to all parents that are here. Are you saved by the grace of God? Do you know the Lord as your own and personal Redeemer? If you say, I am not saved as a parent, then let me ask you this question. How can you point your children to Christ if you don't know Christ yourself? How can you point your children to the Lord if you don't know the Lord yourself? Oh, my prayer is that all who are parents here this day will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today that if you're a parent and you're not a Christian, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, that you will come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus today. You say to me, but I tell my child Bible stories. I instruct my children as best as I can in the things of God. And that's good, and that's commendable. But my friend, until you come to know the Lord as your own and personal Redeemer, then the stories that you tell will only be stories. You will only tell them as stories, and they will only hear them as stories. You see, as I emphasized at the beginning there, the aim and the purpose of teaching the child the Word of God is so that a child will come to a knowledge of sins forgiven. As an unsaved parent, do you tell your child that your child needs to be saved? Do you tell your child that your child is a sinner on his way to hell and it needs a Savior? Do you tell your child that Jesus Christ wants to save you because he loves you? Do you? You see, there's a difference in telling a Bible story and getting to the very heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is pointing the child to Christ. Oh, I pray today that you will come and put your faith, parent, in the Lord. Your child needs to be saved. You want the best for your children? Well, salvation's the best. There's nothing better for your child than God's salvation. Now, you can give your child a good education and you can influence your child to get the best job and to have the best career. And all these things are important in their place. But the most important thing for your child is your child's salvation. And you'll not be able to pray for your child until you're saved. Really pray with all your heart unto God. And you'll not be able to instruct your child fully in the things of God until you know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Well, that's why we've been emphasizing the duty of Christian parents. Are you a Christian parent? Well, my friend, if you're not, come and trust the Lord Jesus today. Instruction, correction, administration. Let us all pray.